Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey's Monday Night Conference Call. My name is Winfrey, believe it or not. And we're on a conference line. So when you hear those dings come in, that means somebody just joined our conference, and we're simulcasting from a conference line onto the Internet. And who just joined us?
Hi, this is Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Win.
I've been thinking about you.
Yeah, that's been kind of crazy, but everything's going to be all right.
Okay. And who else just came on?
This is Regina from Tulsa.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, Wynn. How are you tonight?
Now I'm going to start matching the voice to the emails I get. Okay. I'm fine, but I don't usually say that. I want you to know, when people say, how are you doing, that's usually Heise's job. Okay. Now, remember, we're on the air right now. So if anyone that comes on, we are broadcasting live. And this is a call I have been doing for a few years. What time is it? We officially announced it to start at 6 o'clock.
And you have not started your own recorder yet.
Yeah, okay. Actually, while people are checking in, I didn't want to start the recorder. But thank you for reminding me. If I forget when I mute everybody, tell me. This call has been about, I would say, the nature of interdimensional communications. And it's sponsored by people who have been involved in that and trying to face the challenge of what do you do when voices from that claim to be from other dimensions start talking to you, and where does that go, and how can it be beneficial to other people? And tonight, when you hear those beings, that means people are coming on the line. And anybody on the line want to say hello?
Hello, it's Jim in Chicago.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'll tell you what, before I mute you all, we have the people on the line and the people on BBS, so I'm going to invite everyone on the line to say hello to everyone on BBS. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
everybody.
Hi. Hello.
Now I'm going to invite everyone on BBS to think hello to all of us. We can't hear you, but we can feel your energies, I think. So take a moment and just send us, I hope you send us loving energy. All right, we got it.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello from BBS.
Hello. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody and welcome to our call. And I'm going to mute you. Hang on.
Exit chimes are off. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And now I'm going to put a recorder.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
So welcome to everyone on the line, everyone on the Internet, and everyone that listens to the replay. And this is a rather special call tonight. It's always special, but it's always special when Carla Ruckert is on as my guest. And it's almost not like she's my guest, we're each other's guest, because I've known Carla ever since I began this exploration that I'm on, and we talked on the phone for many, many times, and she was helping me try to make some kind of sense over what was going on with me when I imagine there's a lot of new people listening tonight. So just as a little bit of background, in the year 2000, I had began a study of David Wilcock, and many of you may know David now. He's kind of in the public eye, And I ended up writing a book about David called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And the reason I wrote the book is because in studying the channelings of David, I felt there was a lot of valuable wisdom and guidance in his channelings, which he was not necessarily emphasizing, and which he doesn't emphasize now. And in my book, I ended up paying a lot of attention to the channelings of Carla Rucker. And Carla had very much influenced David, and I started reading her work. And then 2 years into writing the book, I had a new personal relationship that I was taking a drive with from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and it was pouring rain, and I did a little prayer protection, and I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And this voice answered and said, "What are your questions?" And I thought she was joking because she knew I was writing this book. And I asked some questions, and it didn't sound like her. And so for the next 6 months, whatever I was doing, she would interrupt and tell me, "Those guys want to talk to you again." And I was given this open door to ask questions. And there were a couple of really interesting phenomena that happened while I was asking questions. And one of them was, the very beginning, I said, "How do I know my girlfriend's not crazy? Can you guys predict a newspaper headline?" And they said, "Watch for this headline in 2 weeks." And the headline happened. The next thing that happened is my sister was in the hospital, and she was supposed to die, or she had a very high chance of dying. And I asked them if they could help her, and they said they could. So she survived this very critical operation, and I thought it was coincidence. But a few weeks later, I get a call from my brother-in-law. He tells me something really strange happened. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, they joined had to go in for tests, and they wanted to see if her cancer had come back, and it hadn't. But they said her lupus disappeared, and that lupus never disappears." And so now I knew that whatever this voice was that was talking to me did something phenomenal. And later I asked, "How did you do that?" And they said it was like putting a filter in her blood and taking the lupus out. And the woman who was channeling was very scared and having panic attacks and thought it was crazy at that time. So she left me, and a few weeks later, I spent the night with my long-term, I'm sorry I said all this publicly, but it's the true story, so it makes it ring true. And this is the way that when I share this, it makes it more credible and human to people. I spent the night with my long-term friend and old girlfriend, and she woke me up in the middle of the night, and she said, "Get the tape recorder out," and it started coming through her. And this has been going on for 8 years. And she is also my co-host on Monday nights. And oftentimes we bring information through right on the line here. And her name is Terry Brown. And Terry, you want to say anything? I started introducing Carla, but excuse me, Carla. Just since Terry's in the story now, maybe you just say hello.
Yes, this has been a very interesting journey, and I'm starting to really enjoy it. At first, I was in a little bit of overwhelm, and I had to check out what was happening and make sure that I trusted the sources and see that the information coming through resonated, and it just did. And so I'm really happy that Carla's here tonight, and so I'm looking forward to the program.
One of the interesting things that was happening for me is that I was writing this book about David Wilcock and the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, And I was studying the channelings of Carla Ruckert, who has 5 books out what explains itself to be a group soul. A group soul that's composed of former beings in this realm that graduated and went through lots of evolution, and now they act as a group energy, they say, helping us from their side. And there was all this information I was studying about the dimensional shift, about this shift, about the 2012, and I felt like just I was in a science fiction movie, because I've been in metaphysics all my life, and I never studied anything like that. I never became aware of it. And then when Daphne started channeling, I started asking all these questions about the channelings that were coming through Wilcock and Carla Ruckert and all the premises that they were saying. And I was getting exactly the same answers through Daphne, and then it just continued through Terry. And so it was like going and having a second opinion on all this really far-out stuff. And I remember having a little shiver through me saying, maybe I have this right. Because when I wrote my book, I didn't present the channelings as being true. I said, this is what's coming through. I don't know if it's true. I can't validate it. And so we are honored now to have Carla Ruckert, who is probably a major pioneer in this work, when in 1981, you know what? I should have you tell the story, Carla, okay? Just tell how it started and when this voice came through that said, I am Ra, and how you felt.
Okay. I began to learn to channel in 1974, having been in a channeling contact group since 1962, but not really being interested in channeling, just interested in being quiet and listening to what was given. But in 1974, we had run out of people that were channeling, and Don Elkins, who was running the experiment, asked me if I would learn. And I said I would try, because I was devoted to Don Elkins, and if he needed me to channel, then I would at least try. So I began learning to channel in 74, and I began studying the results immediately, because I'm a born researcher. In 1971, I had determined some things about channeling that were important to me, one of which was always to tune to the channel so that I would be able to receive the highest and best contact of which I was capable. And the second thing was always to challenge any spirit that wanted to come through me in the name of what I believed in. I happened to be a mystical Christian, and so I would always challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ or unconditional love. In 1981, I was teaching someone to channel, and I received a contact from those that said they were Ra. I did not like that, because I knew that the Ra that was in Egyptian mythology was not a positive channel. So I challenged in the name of Jesus the Christ and asked them to say that Jesus was Lord, and they did 3 times in a row. So I thought, okay, if they are coming in the name of Jesus, then I'm going to be interested. So I said, go ahead. And what followed was the first conversation in 106 of them, and we recorded them all. And they are to this day probably what I would consider to be my best channeling. And that was because of the fact that I had the best group. I had Don Elkins and I had Jim McCarty. The channeling of the rock group seems to me to be the clearest and the most accurate of any that I have ever received. And when and people like David Wilcock also think that, and a lot of people do, and I appreciate that. I have no longer the privilege of channeling those of Ra directly because Don died in 84, and with that went my beautiful group. But I do channel the Kuo group, and the Kuo group is made up of three groups, one of which is those of Ra, although I speak with those of Latwi, a wisdom density channel that I spoke with quite a bit before 1981. So that's my story as far as the Ra group goes. I am still talking with those of Ra, but it's indirect. And I am very carefully filtered from direct contact because it was very difficult for me to get that contact, even with Don alive and part of the contact group. Now I think it would be very dangerous for me to channel those of Ra. So now I channel those of Kuo and get Ra indirectly. That's my story, and I'm thrilled to be here with Winfrey and Terry, not to mention Terry. So there you go, Win. How's that?
I didn't mention who we were channeling. And, you know, when you're dealing with channeled information, and I have to say, I was like this for a long time. I avoided channeling. I avoided people who channeled because there was something in me that was afraid that I might give up my power. If a source came through with something and they seemed to know everything, maybe I would just depend on them. And how did I know they were positive? And so I never was drawn to channeling, except when I read Edgar Cayce, and I said, this guy was really onto something. Well, when I was writing the book, and this voice started talking to me through Daphne and Terry, it identified itself by the name the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim. Some of you may have heard that word. And I came up with things like the name for God in the Old Testament and the name the Mormons used for God and the creators of this realm. Now, I didn't really believe I could be talking to that source. But I did go and ask them, and I said, excuse me, these are the things I came up with. Are you the same? And they said, we're part of the same. And I said, why are you talking to me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out, and you don't have ego about it. Well, at that time, I had no idea what to do with this experience I was having. In fact, I was already writing a very controversial book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. David Wilcock was not anxious to be Edgar Cayce. And when I started having these experiences, I shared it with him, and I think he just went nuts over it because here I am being his biographer, and I'm talking to a voice that says there's this. And one of the things that happens about channeling is that this is a very important point, that how do you know who you're talking to is who they say they are? And how do you know tomorrow that it's the same voice that talked to you yesterday? And I said, they never told me to do anything. They just said to ask them questions. So I probably spent about 2 years asking questions and having huge synchronicities, which I'm not going to take up the time for this call. And I said, I think they are who they say they are. But they didn't explain themselves to be God in the way that religions make themselves out to be God. They just said they were a group of energies that were here before there was a physical universe, and that they learned to concentrate and focus their energies together to become the first persistence of something. Before that, there was no persistence. It was all floating energies. And so they did, according to my information, they did create the physical universe. And initially, it was more like an art piece. It wasn't like some big being saying, we're creating the universe, let there be light, but it was like an art piece or a sculpture. And they would look at it and say, wow, look, we did this and we did that. Look, this is sticking. And they put beings in this universe and they created life, and then they let the life evolve of its own nature, and they gave free will to it. And that's a whole other story. I've asked hundreds of questions. Those of you that are interested, go to my website, read some of my books, and let me just say websites because I don't want to forget. Carla Ruckert's website is llresearch.org, and the website I'm mostly using is messageaday.net, where I didn't know how to put this out into the world, so I started an emailing service, and you can subscribe to my emails and read the daily messages, and you'll hear the whole story. So as my understanding was evolving in all of this, I started to energetically get a feeling for these two group souls. And the Ra group that Carla channeled was explaining itself to be a group soul. Now, I'm saying this from my distant memory of reading everything, that was able, that was graduated from this realm, that used to have bodies. Now, they didn't just graduate and become a group soul. They graduated and went to other realms and went to other levels of evolution. But eventually, they became this huge conglomerate energy spreading through the universe that was being a helper and a guide to beings that were still stuck in cycles of reincarnation. And as I recall, they explained themselves through Carla that they work with people in channeling, they work with people in dream messages, and they can work with you by energetically connecting with them if you call on them. And they have been very closely involved with the evolution of man. And if you ever read the book by Initiation by Elizabeth Hosh, I believe that was connected to the Ra group. If you've ever heard of Mystery Schools, I believe that was connected to the Ra group. And I believe even the manifestation of Jesus was connected to the Ra group. And they have kind of been a mentoring group, but they need to find opportunities of someone in this realm that can work with them, that can have a high enough intention not to screw it up. Because many people, if they had that experience of connecting with such a huge group, or any group, their egos get off on it, and they start using it for aggrandizement and for making money, and then that leaves an opening for negative. Why is that? It's because now you become attached to what you're getting from it and what you're giving. And once you get attached to what you're getting, you're not honoring completely the higher message. You have a compromise in your mind because you say, how can I make more money from this? How can I get more people to adore me? And so anyone who studies Carla's history knows that everything she's ever done and written is put on her website for free, all her channelings, and she has dedicated herself to the service and never compromised, in my opinion, my knowledge of her, never compromised her work. And those of you that are paying attention to me know that I put out all these emails, I put out 3 conference calls a week. You know, I don't do this for money. It's not that I'm against it, and if anyone wants to send money, if anyone wants to buy something, we usually have donations for things. But the key is the intent has to be higher than doing something as a business, or else it gets easily corrupted. And, you know, I'm talking for Carla, and I want to turn it over to her to see if I said anything off about what I just said.
No, you didn't, Wynn. You are right on.
Okay, good.
The hope of all of us is simply to serve. And when people decide to take into their own hands their spiritual path, they're looking for people that feel right to them, that have a good vibration or that have a meaningful, resonant vibration to them. And hopefully we do, but we put it out there not because we think, oh, well, this is the only way to go. We put it out there because it's the result of our own research and because if it works for somebody else, then we want to be of service and make that available.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this preamble that we're giving, you know, we invited a lot of people tonight. I put a mailing out on the Stardoves list, which goes to 100,000 people. So if any of you saw us on Stardoves and are here, thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. And we have a topic. And the topic had to do with if ETs land, will it be positive? And that's my National Enquirer headline. But it is actually an important thing because, you know, Carla, in studying your channeling, Rob talked about the way they described at great length the negative and where it comes from. And to me, I think there's two important aspects for anyone on this planet right now. Two things to meet. One of them is to be able to learn to have the resonant frequency, the connection to the highest source they can connect with is positive. And that what I've been told in my channelings is when people read these channelings, the energy of the source comes through them. And over a period of time, you start to feel who these sources are. It would be as if you were reading a book. And if you read a book, you start to feel who the author is. If you read a couple of books, you certainly do. Well, these sources, the Elohim group and the Ra group, are not authors. They're huge, 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 huge energies. And when they speak through someone, the way I understand this, because I can't validate it, but the way I understand it, there's a whole bunch of them putting the words together before it comes out of the person's mouth. So by the time it hits the physical universe, it's very articulate, it's very cogent and consistent. And when people channel who give up their power to their channeling, and they say, if my channel says it, it must be true. And then they start dictating truth because they have a channel. What happens when that occurs, Carla?
Well, when our human ego gets involved in anything, whether or not it's conversations with angels like Terry has with the Elohim, with outer sources not from around here like I have, or just talking to your friends or your lovers or your mates, your children, your relatives, whomever you're going to speak to that you want to be clear with, if you have ego involved, the ego takes over and you no longer are offering clear truth. You're offering a truth that's distorted by the ego so that you can't really pretend any longer to have a clear channel. You're just the victim of your own ego, your own personality self. So the thing for people that want to be clear to do is to let the ego go. Let it disappear, let it go someplace else for the moment so that you can get a clearer channel and so that when you speak to somebody else who whomever that may be, you're able to offer something that's larger than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I read in the Ra channelings was that the negative is not in this dimension. There's a negative outside this dimension, and that when somebody is negative, like, say, a Hitler was a very occult guy. He probably had connections with the negative, and they were directing him or connecting with him. And then they said with a positive channel, somebody who's love light, they wait to find a person's weakness, and then they mimic the love light terminology, but it's not coming from the source that was originally perhaps more pure. And that they can gain access because the person who's channeling has now lost a little bit of their connection because their ego gets involved, they're making money, or they're getting recognized. Now, that doesn't mean everyone that makes money and gets recognized is doing this. I don't even want to go there to decide who is and who isn't. But there's certainly more of a possibility. Am I correct when I say that, Carla?
Yeah, I think Terry would probably agree, too.
Yeah.
And notice that what Terry first said when she was telling her story was that she didn't know at first if this was going to be accurate, if this was going to be something she could buy into. She was building her own intelligence. And that's what we all have to do when we have a question like first contact.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just go, okay, Wynn knows about this, so I'm going to believe Wynn. We can listen to Wynn.
Yeah.
We can listen to Terry. We can listen to me. We can listen to the channel sources that we represent. But most of all, it's important that we trust ourselves and build our own intelligence. That's really the only way that we can become aware of what the truth is by not buying into anybody's version of the truth, but only buying into our own intelligence as we build it, as we experience the synchronicities that Wynn talked about, and begin to get that feedback from spirit that says, okay, you're on the right track, this is resonating, and the whole universe is telling you it's resonating. So then you begin to know what you're talking about as far as you are concerned. You still can't turn around and say to somebody else, okay, I've got the truth here, now listen to me. Instead, you say, well, if this resonates to you, here it is, and maybe it'll help. That's about as much as you can do. And that's what all three of us are involved in doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, with all this as a preamble, we're going to now offer what something that we can't validate. And we have three people here, and I've done a lot of cross-referencing. And this is a controversial topic because right at this moment, all over the planet, there's a lot of people, and a lot of this started with people who channel, who are saying that aliens are going to land and save us. And that there's people that are waiting and believing that that's going to happen. I know this beautiful lady, very highly intended, has been having somebody talk to her, and she's creating landing pads in her backyard. Now, I'm not against this happening if I thought it was positive. And this is something that I have asked in particular about to my sources. And people have asked Carla those questions, and things came out in her original Ra channelings. And the reason I announced this tonight is because I wanted to be able to publicly give people another point of view about that possibility. Because remember I said there were two things that were important. One is making connection to the higher realms, and the other is having discernment. And in this realm, it is very hard to have discernment about everything. I mean, if I hadn't gone through all the experiences I've gone through in the last 10 years, I know I could easily make a mistake. I'm aware of other lifetimes when I made huge mistakes because it's hard to know what's true. And if, in fact, we are communicating to the sources that I said we were, which I can't prove, this is where, after this call, if something in you who are listening resonates, if you resonate with the energy, if you resonate with the authenticity of the people on the call and their experience, you owe it to yourself to expose yourself to the materials and read some of these channelings and see if it continues to resonate. Because this is not a call to say, we know what's going to happen, and we're going to tell you and believe us. We can only tell you what we've been answered in questions about this particular topic. And this is not a major topic of questions for either myself or Carla, but it's come up. I would say many of the more important questions have to do with the spiritual growth and what that means in a human, and also getting into resonance with these higher vibrational sources, which comes from people that read the materials. One of the things about group souls that's different from individual channels, which can be very wise, a lot of wisdom can come through a single entity, but a group soul that has millions or billions of individual souls can actually, how can I say it? They can work with you individually. After the channeling's over, they can make a connection with you, and you can start getting dream messages, you can start feeling energies, you can start getting cognitions, aha experiences, and sometimes the Elohim says, we leave, but we do not leave. That's the difference between a group soul that's creating a message and an individual entity that's creating a message. Every human has a matrix that can go right back to source. And most of our matrices are stuck in what they call the veil. And these group souls are on the other side of the veil. So when you start reading them and connecting with them, you get the opportunity to become friends with them. In order to become friends with them energetically, it doesn't mean you're going to be a channel. In fact, I don't even recommend that, and I don't think Carla would. But being energetic friends with them means your energy has to move through the veil, and you have the opportunity to connect your energy above the veil on this planet. And that is what is important right now, not to believe in some kind of savior of some ETs that are going to land here and save us. But I say this because our messages are not saying that's going to happen. And in fact, Carla, if you can like put together what are your messages in terms of this particular topic, what are your messages saying?
Actually, in 1981, Don Elkins was talking to the group Soul Raw, and this is from session 24, but you'll find it in book 5 of the 5-book series with Raw. Elkins asked those of Raw, I said, it's not too important, he said, but I would really be interested to know if Dwight Eisenhower met with either the Confederation, which is what the Raw group is part of, positive group, or the Orion group, negatively oriented group, during the 1950s. And Ra said, the one of whom you speak, Eisenhower, met with thought forms which are indistinguishable from third density. Third density is humans like us. This was a test. We, the Confederation, wished to see what would occur if this extremely positively oriented and simple, congenial person with no significant distortions toward power happened across peaceful information and the possibilities which might append therefrom. We discovered that this entity did not feel that those under his care could deal with the concepts of other beings and other philosophies. Thus, an agreement reached then allowed him to go his way, ourselves to do likewise, and the very quiet campaign, as we have heard you call it, meaning Elkins, be continued, alerting your peoples to our presence gradually. Then they said, in what is typical of Ra's sense of humor, they said, events have overtaken this plan. The very quiet campaign that Don noticed back in 81 has, of course, completely become successful to the point where you have aliens touting beer in commercials on television and so forth. And people joke about little green men, and it's all part of the big buzz that Wynn was referring to, the National Enquirer headline, First Contact. So here's the deal with First Contact. People have two reasons for looking at First Contact. First of all, as Wynn said, there's the hope that ETs might save us. Obviously, we haven't been able to do that for ourselves. Or they fear that ETs might be our doom. So either the grasping for the positive, the grasping for somebody to save us because we can't do it ourselves, or the fearing and grasping for the worst possible case scenario of Hidden Hand, for instance, or in older times, the Emerald Tablets, or lots and lots of other sources through the years, will either promise you the moon to be not accurate, but, you know, promise you that everything's going to be okay, or there is a fear that you have yourself set on, this fear that, oh my gosh, we're doomed, and it's not our fault, it's the ETs. They're going to take us over. So either of those things means that you are reaching for a source that does not have any real resonance. It's a source that you are either hoping for against all reason, or you are fearing against all reason. What you need to do instead is build your own intelligence. And as Wynn said, it's not particularly easy to build your own intelligence. You have to put yourself out. You have to read a lot of the positively oriented marshmallow garbage. You have to read a lot of the information from negative sources that says that we're all doomed. And you have to keep an open mind while you're reading this stuff and begin to allow the truth to penetrate through all of this projection that people do, both positive and negative, so that eventually the universe itself begins talking to you. And after you've read the thing that resonates really well to you, you get something that happens in your daily life that is synchronistic with it. And then you get something else that is synchronistic with it, and then something else. And eventually, the synchronicities build until you are getting a feedback from Spirit itself, not from Spirit coming through anybody, but from Spirit that is in connection with you. And then you don't have to wait for Wynn or me or Terry to tell you what the truth is. You are receiving feedback on the truth from the interactive, unified, spiritual sources that are part of all of us. And then, regardless of what you see in the news or what you hear from a channel, no matter how beloved, no matter how how much you believe in that particular source. You have your own source. And that really is what people are hoping for, that have to do with encouraging people who are on a spiritual path to persist and to persevere until they have a connection to a spiritual truth that they can trust. And that is the source that is speaking through all of us and none of us at the same time, because all of us have a part of it. We are all a part of the unity that is the one infinite creator. But we do not have to wait for someone to assure us that we're okay. We are out there seeking the truth, and not because we must have it or because it's something that we are so involved with that we can't wait for the truth, but rather it's something that we would wait any amount of time for, because we are involved in seeking the absolute truth. So we're no longer grasping, we're no longer fearing. We are simply building our intelligence. That's what we need to be doing. So Wynn and Terry and I all encourage you to do that, not just in the context of this conference call, although we certainly hope that we're being of service, but in the context of that which occurs throughout your incarnation here on Earth, that which you have come to understand as your job here on Earth, which is to build your intelligence, to come to an understanding, and to so intend your life, your incarnation, that it bears witness to the highest and best that you have been able to find. So that when you speak to someone else, the source that is speaking to you speaks to that entity, that other person, before you ever get a chance to speak. So that you're not hearing me, for instance, in terms of what I would say, because I'm a Christian. I would say, hopefully, you're hearing Christ. You're hearing love. And only then do you know who I am. You're hearing the truth. You're hearing wisdom. Only then do you know who Wynn is. You're hearing the unmitigated love of the angels. And only then do you know who Terry is. That's what we hope for. That's what we hope for all of you, is that we can be bearing witness to you in such a way that it inspires you to take responsibility for your own seeking and to trust yourself, to trust that feeling for resonance and rightness that you have, so that you become a trustworthy witness to that which your life intends for you to witness. It's an exciting thing to awaken to a feeling of responsibility for your own seeking, so that you're no longer dependent on anybody or anything for the truth, but rather you are doing your own seeking. You are bearing witness to your own results. I think that...
You know,
Go ahead, Wynn.
I don't want to forget this. This is an important little addition to what you're saying, is that everything on this planet has an energy attached to it. And whatever you place your attention on, you are placing your attention and connecting with the energy that's attached to what you're placing your attention on. So if you pay attention to something that comes from other dimensions that has huge wisdom, it doesn't ever take your power, but only throws it back at you. It doesn't care if you're paying it attention or not. Over a period of time, what you pay attention to, you become one with. And if you become one with these huge energies that we're talking about here, it's far more, what's the right word, compelling, transformative, meaningful, than just repeating words of them. You see, the whole universe is one being. And so Ra is us. The Elohim is us. Carla is me. Terry is Carla. We are you. But it's one thing to say
I am
that
he, and you are he, and we are he, and we are all together.
All together,
as I'm
right.
Lennon is saying.
It's one thing to say that, and it's another thing to be able to live it. And you can't live it out of your mind. So many of you need to spend time paying attention to the things that wake up this oneness. If you just wait around and keep looking inside of yourself, you're always going to get what you always got. So you need to find something to pay attention to that's bigger than you, that you learn how to trust it. You have to test it. Don't give up your power. Usually, when it's right, something in you goes, ding, and you say, I could feel that. You know, that happens with relationships. It happens with people who channel. But if you're giving up your power to doctrines, like even if the words sound right, like ascension, DNA, it does not mean it's positive. And everything needs to be discerned. And Terry, us big hands here are hogging the stage. Say something.
Oh, it was very, very interesting. It's like we're all on the same page here. And I feel like that Elohim is constantly indicating to people that they need to set up their own reference points. They need to find their own center. And the other thing was, I was listening to a video just before this where there's a song about letting your ego go and how you can miss so much within your life, and so much that you could fulfill you is torn apart by the person's own ego. And it's keeping that person from being fulfilled. So I thought that that was very interesting. It was video, a song by D-Clan Galbraith.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Listen, it's 6:51, so we're supposed to be off any minute. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in specially tonight to listen. I want to thank our conference call group, which plays a huge part in helping to hold and ground the energy so that we can do these calls. I don't think they appreciate it. They don't realize it. They think they're anonymous, but they're not. And I'd like to thank our sources that I know are present when we do these. And some of you can feel energy. You know, I do 3 conference calls a week, and my Sunday call, we just dedicate to feeling the energy, and we make group energies, and we create group intentions for planetary healings, for personal healings, and I want to make sure that those of you who resonate, follow up, and of course, Carla and I both have books for sale. We have stuff for free. Her website is llresearch.org, llresearch.org. My website is messageaday.net. If you go in the upper left-hand corner, if you subscribe, you'll get notices of all my conference calls. You'll get so many emails, you're either going to get sick of me or love me, but you'll get a lot of emails, 2 or 3 a day sometimes. But you know what? All those emails have a really good positive energy, loving charge to them, and I get responses from people that in this particular period of time when things are so unknown and that there's not a lot to hang on, some people can't find things to hang on to. These are things that you can check out. And for some of you, it could be a life raft. And Carla has a, what do you call it, bring forth, Carla?
Yeah, www.bringforth.org, bringforth.org. That's our social and spiritual networking group. Come see us. Come check us out. We have places where you can talk, places where the things that you're interested in that most people are not interested in are going to, you're going to find other people who also want to talk about the same stuff. So it's really a comforting thing to become part of a network such as ours because of the fact that finally you find somebody that actually wants to talk about the same things that you're fascinated with.
Now,
so
Steph is sitting there saying, Wynn, get off, it's 6:54. So,
all callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
You guys on the conference call, you want to say goodbye to the BBS audience?
Bye.
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 Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Carla.
We love you.
Thank you,
Wynn. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Carrie.